An international watchdog group confirmed that the April 4th chemical attack in Syria was a sarin gas or similar poison attack. The use of sarin and other chemical weapons is illegal under international law, and employing it is considered a war crime. The attack last April killed more than 100 Syrian villagers, including children. It's regarded as one of the worst atrocities committed during the six-year Syrian civil war. President Trump blamed the Assad regime for the attack. 2 days later, he ordered a missile strike targeting a Syrian base.
It was a slow and brutal death for so many. Even beautiful babies were cruelly murdered in this very barbaric attack.
Arshad Mohammed joins us now. He's the diplomatic correspondent for Reuters. Arshad, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Well, did this come as a surprise to any in the international community that this was, in fact, sarin nerve gas that was used?
You know, I don't think that it came as a surprise. I mean, the exact chemical substance, in a way, was not so important as the actual confirmation that it was an attack using chemical weapons. But I don't think it comes as much of a surprise to anybody.
And what does this confirmation mean, that we have the proof now that it was a nerve gas, a chemical weapon?
Well, it means that, a couple things to make clear. One is that the OPCW, the UN agency that made this determination, has not yet ascribed blame for the use of the chemical agent. So, in other words, they have not said that they believe it to be the Syrian government or Syrian government forces that did so. That is the position that, as you said, President Trump has taken. So that's the first thing that will need to eventually be established, if it can be established. If that were to be established, I think the most salient question is what kind of response the United States might have to this. I'm not sure that there would be a significant additional U.S. response. As you noted, after the April 4th attack, President Trump ordered a cruise missile strike of nearly 70 cruise missiles against the Syrian military base that was believed to have been the one that carried out the chemical weapons attack. And my sense of the administration is that they're looking to deter the Syrian government, if it indeed was them, from carrying out additional attacks. But they are, in a wider sense, trying to limit their involvement in the Syrian conflict. And so formal confirmation that the Syrian government was responsible for this, if that were to come, I don't think will necessarily change the Trump administration's military posture in Syria.
Now, the White House recently warned Syria that there would be a, quote, heavy price if Syria launched another chemical attack. So does this mean that the United States is maybe more deeply involved than it would like to be, at least according to the White House? Or does this mean that this is the typical sort of threat that you might see in the hopes of getting a deterrence?
You know, I think it's the latter. I think it is precisely a threat designed to deter. You know, if you go back to September of 2013, I believe, when the then Obama administration was on the verge of launching an attack against Syria to back up President Obama's red line against the Syrian government's use of chemical weapons. And then it changed its mind. It didn't do that. The Trump administration clearly views that to have been a failed policy. The Syrian government has since been accused of using chlorine against Syrian civilians. Chlorine is not a banned substance under international law in terms of a chemical weapon, but it's a pretty devastating thing to use against civilians and can be deadly. And what the Trump administration has been trying to do is to reinstitute deterrence, to essentially have the Assad-led government fear that if they did this again, that they would get hit and get hit hard, and therefore to prevent them from doing it. So they're very much trying to restore deterrence. And, you know, toward the end of the week, you had some U.S. officials saying that they believed that it had worked and that the government, to the extent that it was considering the use of more chemical weapons, was thinking twice about it.
Now, since President Trump took office, the president has been talking about an America First policy, which seems to indicate that America is going to pull back from entanglements abroad, and among that, intervening in Syria. So if there is another chemical attack, is it the United States on the line again, or could there be some other involvement from a different ally?
So I think having this week made the threat that the Syrian government would pay a heavy price for using chemical weapons, I think the Trump administration would have no choice but to act and to strike against Syrian government forces if that happened. I think there's no way out of that. In a way, if they didn't, they'd be accused of exactly what they accused the Obama administration of, which is not saying what they mean and not carrying out their threats. The wider question is, I think, a really good and a really difficult one, which is to say, since taking office, if I'm not mistaken, the United States has increased its military presence in Syria. The Obama administration did deploy some special operations forces in Syria. The Trump administration has increased that. And the question then becomes, well, what do they do now? Syrian Democratic Forces appear to be making headway against the Islamic State militants. And as that goes forward in terms of reclaiming Syrian territory, there is a debate that I'm told is raging within the administration. There are some people, including within the State Department, who are arguing, look, we should just focus on Islamic State. Once that is largely achieved and the territory has been wrested away from them, the United States should, in a sense, withdraw. The counterargument to that at the State Department, but also particularly at the Pentagon, is, look, if you leave Syria to be a vacuum, you will end up with one of two things. One, you leave it open to the possibility of Islamic State coming back. Two, and maybe more worrisome for this administration, you leave it open to Iranian influence. If you leave a vacuum, the Iranians will fill it, and that is not something that the Trump administration would want to see. So there's clearly a debate that's going on here. I think a third thing that you have to factor into that debate is not just the kind of foreign policy arguments, but also what you alluded to, which is the America First perspective that is held by the president and by some of his top advisors, particularly on the domestic side, which is to essentially focus on the American homeland and on preventing terrorism, and therefore to retreat. And so how that factors into it is another thing. I don't think these issues have by any means been resolved yet, and it's one of the big questions that President Trump will face if and when Islamic State loses the bulk of the territory that it once controlled in Syria.
And as we start to wrap up, President Trump will be at the G20 summit in Germany coming up pretty soon. Vladimir Putin also there. And both presidents are said to have a meeting in the works. And given that the United States has re-upped its rhetoric against Syria and that Russia, President Putin, is a supporter of the Assad regime, what does that augur for their meeting together?
So this is going to be that meeting is going to be the single most talked about moment of the G20 summit. On the one hand, you have President Trump, who is hemmed in to some degree in his desire to improve relations with Russia by the allegations of Russian interference in the U.S. presidential election, by the hostility towards better relations in Congress, which has been moving toward imposing new sanctions on Russia. On the other hand, you also have kind of the American professional diplomats and foreign policy experts who feel that Russia's behavior in a whole series of areas, but particularly Ukraine, Syria, is such that the United States can't give much away to the Russians. I talked to somebody earlier today whose best guess was that this was likely to be kind of a smiling and perhaps substance-free summit. President Putin surely wants to establish a good relationship with President Trump, and therefore he perhaps has an interest in not pushing him too hard. President Trump has been kind of the foremost exponent within his own government for better ties, and therefore presumably he wants to have a pleasant initial first meeting. And so this analyst's best guess was that you'd have some pleasant words exchanged, but not necessarily much substantive outcomes, either in terms of agreements or in terms of open disagreements.
Arshad, thanks a lot for joining us again.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That was Arshad Mohammad, diplomatic correspondent for Reuters, joining us to talk about today's confirmation from a watchdog group that the April chemical attack in Syria was a sarin gas attack.